Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Look at this face, I know the years are showing. Look at this life, I still don't know where it's going. I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know.
Look at these eyes, they've never seen what matters. Look at this dream, so big and so better.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know. So many questions still left unanswered. So much I've never broken through.
And when I feel you near me, sometimes I see so clearly. The only truth I've ever known, me and you.
Look at that man, so blessed with inspiration. Look at this soul, still searching for salvation. I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Hello, world listeners.
This is Chris Michael Ward. I am filling in for authorist Terry Elio. As I said on our last live show 2 weeks ago, because we left for Thanksgiving, Terry's mom passed away, and I've been filling in for her. But need not worry. We all miss Terry. She is the Barbara Walters of Unmasked. And she will be back soon. But in the meantime, our guest is Beverly Fellows Jones, and I'm going to introduce my co-host, Mark Anthony Riel, here in a minute. If you have any questions or comments for our guest, Beverly Fellows Jones, please do not hesitate to call us at 347-945-6003. And now I will introduce my co-host, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, global listeners. How you doing? From San Diego.
It's pretty good in San Diego, and it's pretty good here in Ohio where I am. But let's not waste any time. It is good. Let's not waste any time because we've got a marvelous guest. Beverly Fellows Jones. I had a little slip up. Hello, Beverly. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for having me. This is such a wonderful pleasure.
All right. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Okay, Mark, you want to ask the first question?
Well, I sure do. I thought you were going to say Beverly Hills for a moment.
I almost slipped up.
Beverly, it's great to have you on the show. You know, I love how you call yourself. Thank you. I love how you call yourself the Silver Fox of Consciousness. And I can see by your photos, you are indeed a silver fox. Ooh.
Well, thank you.
I love the hair. Yeah. In my research, I came across your YouTube video where you were talking about what to give an old person for Christmas. I wonder if you can talk. Can talk about that, because I'm going through the same dilemma, Beverly.
The same dilemma of people giving you presents that they think you would like, but they've never asked you what the things you are that you like. So that whole idea of when we get older, we've got just about everything we need. I mean, I'm working to get rid of things, right, and clean. And I'm telling my new daughter-in-law and her brother's girlfriend, look, before you buy anything for your kitchen, check with me. I might have an extra one sitting around. And I think many people can relate to the fact that as we get older, we're trying to downsize. We're trying to get rid of things. But people tend to say, oh, I really like this. Let me get one for Beverly, you know, or let me get one for so-and-so. And so in my garage, I have a shelf that's called regifting, because there are things that I've been given that I have no use for, and I'm not going to use them. So I try to figure out a way to give them to somebody who will appreciate it. So that whole idea of ask the person that you're getting a present for, what is it that they need or they really want? Or you're hanging around them all the time, and you might be with them, and they say, you know, I'd really like to get a new coffee maker, but, you know, I don't want to spend that money right now. Well, that's a hint, right, that a coffee maker might be good for them. For me, I tell them, especially when you've got a lot of things, is the idea of, look, I like to go out to dinner. Here's the restaurant that I like to go to. You can give me a gift card for that. I like to go to this particular movie. So here in Texas, there's Studio Movie Grill, where you go in, you have dinner while you're watching the movie. So get me a thing for Studio Movie Grill. But give me something that I can use. And that's the same thing I look at for when I'm giving presents. I'm always listening to what a person wants or what they think they want that's within, you know, the budget range. But it's like, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that we let our family and our friends know that, look, for me, don't give me a present, because a present is something that you want me to have, you can give me a gift. And a gift is something that I would truly love.
Yeah, I think that's right, because, you know, you want to ask the person what they want instead of just assuming what they want. And if they, you know, that way you don't give them something they don't want. That's what you're saying, right? Yeah.
Right. And sometimes people, you ask them, well, what would you like? I don't know. It's like, really? You know, so if you're giving a gift to someone that you know, then you're going to be around them enough to kind of listen to what their wants and their needs are. But, you know, there's always that joke of, oh, I got another tie, right? Because people will tend to give a tie. And it's like, well, these days men don't wear ties. So, oh, a baseball cap. Oh, you know, so it's not really given with thought. So it takes a lot of, like, snooping around in order to find out what a person likes. I give gifts that I make. So I'm just finishing up pineapple vinegar.
Oh.
And I gave it last year, and several people have given me back their bottles. And I said, oh, is it time for a refill? They said, yeah, right? I made there's a bakery here called the Collins Street Bakery, and they are known around the world for their fruitcake. Now, their fruitcakes aren't like the other folks' fruitcakes that's hard and you got to put brandy and everything. Their fruitcakes are 90% pecans, and it's pecans and fruitcake and very little flour, very little egg. I found the recipe last year, and I made the fruitcake, and just after Thanksgiving, I gave some out, and I heard, is this what you're going to give me for Christmas? So when you give things that you make, that they are really totally personalized, and it is what I want to say. They are really appreciated when you do that, like baking cookies, you know, and doing a tin full of special cookies that you make. I bake breads. So friends like my bread. So looking at something that you make, which allows you to be creative.
Yeah. Now explain to me, since you make this up, my question is, what is pineapple vinegar? You could put that in salads and stuff, right? You can, like,
Yeah,
so
my friends have used it, and I've used it as a salad dressing. You can, you know, you can cook with vinegar, so that, you know, you can use it in pork because it'll give it a different flavor, you know, and it'll give it that sweetness when you're roasting a pork roast or whatever. Lamb would also benefit from that vinegar, but the sweetness from it, as well as, you know, oil and vinegar for your salads.
All right. Yeah, I heard of, like, the regular vinegar, and I can't think of the other vinegar that I have. I forget
apple
which
cider,
that one.
Apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider, that's it.
Yeah.
Apple cider vinegar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that one, but
mm-hmm.
I never heard of pineapple. So I just didn't know if it was the same thing, if you could use it for the same thing. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I took a course in fermentation. So I make my own kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own apple cider vinegar. And I got the book on vinegars, and it said any fruit, you can create vinegar. So last year was really the first year I made it. And it came out very good. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome. All right, Mark, it's your turn to ask the question. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you heard me, but I said I'm glad I friended you on Facebook, because I would love to try some of that. Anyway.
Just send me your address and I'll send you some.
Okay. I go through phases, Beverly, where I'm practicing meditation, you know, like on YouTube videos or, you know, through books.
Mm-hmm.
And I always come back to my daily blog writing as a thing that always keeps me focused and relaxed. Now, can you elaborate on the top four benefits of focused guided meditation? Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, when you're looking at focus guided meditation, one of them is one, focus, of course, because you're concentrating on one particular thing. Sometimes when we do this, yeah, it might be two. So a lot of people, they go into meditation and the thought has been that you sit there and you just let your mind wander, or you try to concentrate on a candle or on your breath or on your heartbeat. And that's all well and good when you go through the process of just trying to calm yourself. That's a good way to lower your blood pressure. It's just being focused on your heartbeat or on your breath or something like that. So that's one. But the idea of looking at a particular thing that you desire in your life, then that meditation is going to concentrate on that item. Just had a conversation with a client today because she's looking to get her book into streaming online. All right, so she's going through the process of finding out who to contact, but she doesn't know all the steps. And that's where going into meditation and focusing on what you want to accomplish helps, because we're all interconnected. And we're all interconnected through a thing called the zero point field. And the zero point field is the title that's given by scientists. But people like, and I don't know if your audience are familiar with them, but Wallace Wattles, Neville Goddard, Napoleon Hill, they all talked about this thing called the ether. So this is the early 1900s. Well, they talked about impressing your thoughts upon the ether. And when you impress your thoughts upon the ether, then the ether will answer you and start giving you information about how to accomplish your goals. So we're looking at this thing called the zero-point field or ether. And so how I want to explain this, just think about a spider web. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of the huge spider webs or even a small spider web. And it's got all these little intricate webs pieces in it. But a spider web can be at the far end of that web, and a small insect can hit one the side of it, and that spider will go straight to it. He's not looking all through the web. He knows where that fly or insect land it. Well, just think of your thoughts hitting that spider web. But the thing with the spider web is that every one of us, you and I and everybody in the world, is connected to that spider web. And your thought goes out and everybody gets it, but only those that can help or get somebody to the next step actually gets that thought. And how does that work? Well, it's just like your phone. I picked up the phone, I dialed the number for Blog Talk Radio. I don't know how I got there, but within a few seconds, it was there and we got answered. I don't care how it works, but it got to them. Now, when you're working and you're sending that information out, sometimes it'll happen that somebody will call you out of the blue that you might have been thinking about, and they called you. They said, oh, yeah, you just came on my mind today. And you to yourself are saying, yeah, I've been thinking about you all day. And my response has always been, yeah, you got my message, you know, because you got my signal. So that whole thing about the focus, now we're focusing on this one thing that I want. So within the meditation, I am focusing on that thing, and now it goes out to the ether or on the zero point field, and it acts as people. So the other thing it does is it helps you go through the process of defining what it is you want all the way down to the nth degree. It's not just I want a new car or I want new transportation. I want, let's see, let me pick a car. I want a Mercedes-Benz. I want it in white. I want leather interior. I want the automatic parking thingy, right? So you get to the point where you know exactly what it is. In fact, my client today, she said, Beth, I said, what? She said, I went and drove a Lincoln, just like you told me to. She went out, she test drove it. Now she knows what it feels like. She knows what it is like. So focusing on your area is like putting gold in your pocket, because you are getting that information out in that ether for the universe to be able to figure out a way to bring that item or that thing or that thought to you. So you're going through and doing your blogging each day really helps you to focus, and then you might get downloads while you're blogging.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people use like crossword puzzles for their mind. Do you agree that helps the mind expand?
Well, what it does is it keeps your mind active. It also, any time that you're doing crossword puzzles and you find words that you don't know or you don't understand, you go find the dictionary and look it up. Well, when you're doing that, you're creating new neural pathways in your brain, because now it's got to have a new piece in there to store that information about that new word. So when you're doing those crossword puzzles, you're doing puzzles. I teach a class at one of the city's rec centers, and it's brain games. And we do different types of games, and we do search puzzles. We do puzzles where you search on the screen to find the missing object or find the objects, and some of them are not too easy. But it starts helping you connect those synapses and those nerves in your brain, and it helps build new pathways. So, yeah, doing crossword puzzles is a really good thing.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Or
okay,
online Scrabble, too. Or online Scrabble helps me immensely.
Oh, Scrabble, yeah.
Right. And the other game, and we're going to be doing that in the next couple classes, and we're going to be doing Boggle. I don't know if you're familiar with Boggle, but you get all these letters jumbled up, and you find all the words you can create with them connecting with one another.
Oh, yeah. I never heard of that one, but I'll have to look into that one. All right, Mark, mm-hmm. You can ask your question. Go ahead.
Okay, as a certified hypnotist, how can you help people change their minds and subconscious and ultimately change the circumstances of their life? How do we get started with that process?
Well, the main thing is people have to make a decision. You have to make the decision of what you really want in your life. Now, you may find that there are things holding you back, but you're not quite sure what they are. So through hypnosis, we can dig a little deeper. And I'm not only just hypnosis, but I use coaching and questioning and those kinds of things. So I help people by kind of digging deep and then getting them in that relaxed state so that they can bring to the surface those things that are holding them back, or why do they do certain things. Let me give you an example. A woman was allergic to cats. She had no idea. She had taken allergy medicines and all that. Well, took her into the meditative state and went back in time, and she had scared a cat. And the cat had jumped on her baby sister and had scratched that baby sister. And from that point on, she was afraid of cats. And there were a few other things that happened in that thing with that cat. And she developed an allergy. After going through that and remembering what that was and clearing that out, she was no longer allergic to cats.
Wow, I never heard about that. Like, it reversed her from being allergic to cats?
Yes.
Wow.
Because of the circumstances that it was that it was developed under.
Do you think that could work with anything, or do you think it just works with cats? I mean, what's your?
Well, it can work with dogs. It can work with. I actually had reduced my seasonal allergies through a couple of meditations that I created, hypnosis sessions, and I would play those every day. And I trained myself. If I sneezed, I'd tell my body that this, you know, that pollen isn't doing me any damage. And for the last 4 years, it's been about 4 years when I first started that, I had not taken any allergy medicine. I'd sneeze every now and then, but I wasn't taking any allergy medicine. This year, for some reason, and people have said the pollen was really bad, I wound up for the first time taking some allergy medicine. And so I had to go back and start doing those meditations again to train my body that the pollen is not harmful to me. You have you've got control over your body. There was a gentleman in World War II. He was a Jewish guy, and he was in the concentration camp. And he trained himself to ignore what was going on around him. He trained himself to deal with pain. His name was Swartz, was his last name. And doctors studied him. He was in front of a bunch of doctors at a conference, and he put a X-ray up on the screen, and all the doctors said, they were surgeons and things, doctors talking about, oh, we'd have to do surgery, and we put a pin in it, and we'd do this, and we'd do that, and then, and they asked, well, who is this? And he said, that's me, this morning. And he had been walking on stage all day while he was doing the conversation. They said, what? And he gave another X-ray, and it was healed. He had trained his brain to the point pain didn't bother him, and he could heal himself just by thought.
Wow.
So the mind is extremely powerful. And you can make yourself sick, and you can make yourself well. So, yes, the brain, the thought process, the subconscious is a very powerful thing, and we should totally respect it.
Yeah, so, but if what if you're in, like, severe pain? And are you saying even, like, in severe pain, if you control how you feel?
You can control your pain, yeah. I've got a couple of methodologies within the hypnosis for people who have severe pain. And then the key is really what is causing the pain. Where, you know, is it an old injury? You know, are you got degenerative, you know, something going on with you? A lot of times, or, you know, you had a major accident and then your nerves are on end. You had an amputation, and my dad had an amputation, but the end, his foot would hurt because those nerves are still in your brain and will go down, and there's no foot there. They call that phantom pain. So you can go through the power of your mind and get yourself to the point that you can relax and maybe not eliminate the pain, but you can lessen the pain quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard that before, that it's like mind over matter, but my thing is, like, I've always, with all respect, I've always thought that was like kind of like kumbaya, like because you're not dealing, you're thinking everything's going to be positive when it's not always positive.
Right. Well, here's something that your listeners and you can use. So let's say you get a deep cut. I cut on your finger, right? Mm-hmm. And it hurts. I mean, I sliced my finger once. It was terrible, right? It was really deep, and I should have gone to the hospital and get stitches, and I didn't. I just taped it up real good, but it was throbbing, and it was distracting me, the pain. Well, what I wound up doing is going into the relaxed state and distracting myself with something else, distracting myself in a book that I knew was really good and it would get me into it. Or you can distract yourself sometimes. People do it with TV. But if you distract yourself away from the pain will go away. And then over time, as it's healing, then of course the pain is going to ease lighter and lighter. But when you can distract your mind away from where that pain is and get your mind concentrating on something else, the pain will lessen. I've done it many times when I've had an issue. I used to have a problem with my back before I got what they call decompression therapy. And I had to figure out a way to allow myself to do my job and to work in spite of the pain. And I realized that once I got involved in work or involved in a project or whatever, the pain didn't bother me.
Okay, so you're saying
figure out a way to do is distract yourself.
You're saying ignore the pain. You're saying if you ignore the pain, it goes away forever.
When you ignore, I'm not going to say it goes away forever, especially if it's chronic. What it does is it allows you to lessen the pain and how it affects how you function. So it's called
okay.
If you concentrate on where the pain is, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna be there. It's gonna, you know. And it's going to get worse because you're going to tighten up your muscles. You're going to move in a certain way, and you're concentrating on the pain. But the idea
uh-huh.
is to get distracted from the pain and not concentrate on it and get your mind on other things, and the pain will either lessen or, in essence, it could go away. It might still be there, but you're so concentrated on something else that you're ignoring the pain.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I'm saying
right.
now?
Yeah, you're saying if you ignore it enough, it goes away. That's what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. It you won't notice it. You might not notice
okay.
a dull ache, or you might notice something. Now, if it's a stabbing pain, then we got to talk about some other stuff. There's methods
yeah.
for getting rid of migraines. There's a methodology I teach to get rid of migraines, especially when they can't figure out what it is that causes the migraines. And you go through that. But yeah, there is a thing within hypnosis, and you can train yourself, and it will help you manage pain.
All right, Mark, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I'd kind of switch gears a little bit, Beverly. I see on your Facebook page that you just enrolled in college. How exciting is that?
Yes.
What subjects are you taking and why? Why are you taking the subjects?
Okay, so this is a little different, but I am getting a certification in pastry arts.
Oh. Pastry art, and that's going to help your mind, right? That's to help you focus on.
Yeah, right.
Fixing.
No, it's all my.
Yeah.
I love to bake. I love to cook, and I have been, you know, experimenting with sourdough breads and pretzels and artisan breads and those kinds of things, and I love to make tarts and cookies and those kinds of things, but they don't look, you know, really professional because I've never really, you know, looked at, okay, how do you plate a dessert? How do you do these kind of things? Because I got friends who, it's like it came out of a bakery. And then there's science behind baking. There's a definite science about well, do I use baking soda or baking powder? How much yeast do I use? What kind of yeast do I use? How much flour do I have? How many eggs? It's like I made sweet potato pie the other day, and I said, how many eggs do I want? I want to make a custard. So let's see, the size of the eggs, it looks like I need 4 eggs because I usually make my sweet potato pie by taste and by fluffiness, but I know what needs to go into it. So the pastry arts is really science and my learning the science of baking.
Oh,
also,
that's interesting.
Add more neuro pathways in my brain. So anytime you take on a new subject or something that you're not familiar with, you are training your brain and you're also adding volume to your brain. At one time, they thought our brains didn't grow anymore after we got into our 20s. Well, they were wrong about that, like they're wrong about a whole lot of things, and they know that we can grow new gray matter, white matter. We can prevent Alzheimer's. Well, Alzheimer's is also the foods you eat. And that's another subject. But so just by taking a new class, and I figured once I finish the pastry arts, then I'm going to go and I'm going to do the training on mediation. I'm just going to keep going to school.
It's good that you go to school. I went to school for media, and now look at me. Now I'm guest hosting on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
So I was looking on your Facebook page, and it said I was looking at your picture popped up that you wrote a book called Manifesting the Life You Want. Is that still in print?
Yes, it is. It's available on Amazon. So that's my second book. Manifesting Your Life You Want, Prime Directives for Everyday Living. The first book was Christianity, the Law of Attraction, and the One Command. And so the second book, Manifesting Your Life You Want, is really an update in how much I had learned since I wrote the first book. So I tell people I'm not rehashing what I wrote in the first book. You got to get the first book to know that. But here's the new information. Here's the new science. Here's the new learning that I want you to know about so that you have all these tools in hand.
Okay, that's interesting. And you said people can buy that at Amazon, and is it at Barnes & Noble too?
You can go to BarnesandNoble.com. It's on all the outlets. And if you're in a bookstore, they can order it for you. It's available wherever books are sold.
that's awesome. Okay, Mark, you can ask your last question because we're coming down on time. Go ahead.
Beverly, tell us about your Dare to Grow Texas, your interactive workshop for women. Sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah. Dare to Grow Texas. Well, it's a consortium of 5 women. We got started, and we usually have monthly meetings. And what we do is we bring in guests that talk about topics women want to talk about, and it's not necessarily always business. One time we had a panel of a Pilates instructor, a nutritionist, and a skincare specialist. So 3 things for taking care of your body. We've also had people coming in about organization. I talked about getting your business, women's business, certified as a woman-owned business. So we do a lot of different kind of meetings for that. And next year we are doing a thing, and we haven't announced it yet, but it's called the Brand Book Incubator, and it's going to be 4 seminars on creating your brand book and allowing you to really concentrate on your core business, what it looks like, what's the message you want to do, who is your target audience, how do you define your target audience, how do you find your target audience. So Dare to Grow Texas is a dream of our founder, Julie Thurber, and she pulled me in on the board, and there's several other of us who are on the board for that organization. But thank you for asking about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, Beverly, we got like 5 minutes on the clock. Well, actually, it's four, it just turned to 4 minutes. Where can people find you? I know we mentioned your Facebook page. So, and are you
right
on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube?
Well,
and all that?
I am on Twitter as Beverly Fells Joan, J-O-N. There's not enough letters for me to put my whole name, but anytime somebody can Google Beverly Fells Jones, because there's 50 million Beverly Joneses out there, but you do Beverly Fells Jones, and you'll find my Facebook, my Commanding Your Life website. You'll find me on YouTube. You'll find me on Spreaker, because that's where I do my podcast, is Spreaker.com. So just Google
okay
me. And then for your listeners, if they do gift.commandingyourlife.com, and they can sign up. And I don't send newsletters like other people do. It might come once every couple months, but they can keep up with when I'm speaking or get a download for a meditation when they go there and they share their information with me. It's called Possibilities Palace, and it helps people begin that process of learning how to visualize again, just like we did when we were a kid and we would pretend. So that's available. So commandingyourlife.com. It's Beverly Fells Jones on YouTube. It's Beverly Fells Joan, J-O-N, on Twitter and on Facebook. It's everywhere. Like I said, just Google.
Okay.
You'll find them all.
Okay, and I just sent you a friend request, so that way you know it's me, Chris Michael Ward. So, you know,
okay.
I just wanted you to
okay
know that. All
we'll,
right.
We'll
all right.
Do.
Well,
I answer all friends' requests.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mark, you got something else you want to ask, Mark?
Well, yeah, you know what I wanted to really ask you about is your kind of really about your early life real quick. I mean, it kind of is a synopsis of where you grew up and your upbringing.
Well, I was raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh, small town called Rankin. And I lived there until I was 14, and then my parents built a home in West Mifflin. And so I was raised in West Mifflin until I went away to college. Then I came back, got a job at IBM, worked for IBM for 29 years, took a buyout that I couldn't refuse, went to work for Hewlett-Packard for 12, took another buyout I couldn't refuse. And this whole thing about the law of attraction and understand how your brain works all came about after I left Hewlett-Packard. And it opened a whole new world for me of learning and just allowing me to help others live the life that they want.
All right. Well,
was that too short?
Beverly,
you did
great. I wanted to thank you, Beverly, for coming on. Maybe you could come back for a part two if you want. You can contact Carrie for that. And I will. I want to thank you for coming on. And I want to thank Mark for joining me, co-hosting the show this week. I want to thank our listeners, and we will see everybody next. Me and Mark will see everybody next week. Thank you, Beverly, for coming on.
Thank you, Beverly.
All right. Thank you. You all have a great one,
of,
and thank you for having me.
I'm dreaming of pineapple.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Private message me with your address. I'll
bye-bye
send you some.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.